All right, guys. You know that Mary F. Kill game we play sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary F. Kill. Bikes, horses, or the interior of cars?
Oh.
Gonna F them all.
Yeah. F them all. They're the worst to draw.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Mm-mm. Just horses on bikes, the comic.
Listen, horses aren't real.
I actually enjoy drawing horses. I don't mind it. I've gotten kind of used to it a little bit. Not that I'm drawing horses all the time. Oh, look, ponies.
Yeah.
Brian, well, let's leave.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've had enough of your shenanigans.
I never draw horses. I never will. I refuse.
You've never incorporated a horse?
You've got that one centaur character, but it's only torso up.
Torso up, that's it. That's all you got.
Torso the horso.
I've had some characters, like, obviously some mythological characters, like, part animal, part whatever, but usually it's just like, they got a lot of Egyptian ones. Ducks. It's like, I'm a dude, but I got a crocodile head. What's up? I'm Sobek. How are you? So that's fun. Hmm. The heads are the best part.
Yeah.
I think we all know that the heads are the best part. Except for horses.
That's where the thinking meat is.
Absolutely it is. What is it like to draw a horse?
Can you find out this week?
But can you ever
because
really...
the intro has gone on for 2 minutes.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the show. This week, what are we doing? We're doing a little discussion about the creative side of comics. The actual, since we don't talk about it really that often.
Every now and then.
Just at the end of every episode.
Just the little plug bits and that's it, but we don't actually
discuss it. We're not about actually, like, you know, our... whatever you want to call it, like making things, kind of how we do it.
The process.
The process. I didn't want to say it.
No, it's fine.
Someone had to.
So tell me about your dad.
No!
Yeah, we all are creators.
Yes.
We've all published our own books and online stuff and whatever. Mm-hmm. And
we make comics and stuff.
Comics and prints and art and whatever and all these different stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're going to do an episode, probably short.
But we should probably get to the news before that.
Yes, let's do that.
Current Zero News Flash.
Whoa, we're at the news. That was fast.
This place is huge.
I know.
This place is news.
Is it new?
It's news.
With a Z?
It's infamous.
Oh. Is it infamous? It's so famous, it's infamous.
Mm-hmm. Ha! Hey, you! Look! Ha! Up here! Up here! Up here! Whoop! Whoop! Ha! Ha! Go! 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 Hey, you guys!
I'll start off very briefly. It happened relatively recently. Dark Phoenix actually came out.
I saw it.
Kyle saw it.
I saw it in the theater. I got a big old popcorn and I got an $8 beer. Oh. An $8 Budweiser.
That's
and that was the best part.
and you posted, you tweeted at us or posted the picture. Not that busy, huh?
There were about it was a large theater. I didn't see like a 3D or a D box or any of that stuff. It was just a standard theater. Yeah. But there were maybe 20 people in there. It was a Saturday night,
like opening weekend.
Yeah, opening weekend.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's a perfectly serviceable movie. It's not great.
It's serviceable.
It's not the worst X-Men movie. It's not the worst movie with Jean Grey turning into the Phoenix.
Don't you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
Yeah, that's...
But it's not a good movie.
That's... You could trip over that bar.
Yeah.
I hope.
I will okay, so the box, it came out, it's, I think the domestic box office for the weekend was $33 million, which, I mean, for a movie like this, not good.
No.
Not great. Wait,
did it beat Hellboy?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Nerds.
It probably...
Did it?
Oh, I'm sure it did. Hellboy did very badly.
Hellboy domestic opening weekend was just over $12 million. So yeah. It totally sucked donkey on opening weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, so pretty bad reviews on the whole, but I mean, I think from what I've heard, your take is pretty fine. Like, it's okay, I guess, kind of a thing. And I guess that's the end for, like, the Fox X-Men or Fox-owned X-Men. New Mutants still exists, in theory.
I'm actually really interested to see the New Mutants.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was interested a year and a half ago,
yeah,
too.
Really, yeah, really, before they did... So enough reshoots to shoot an entire new movie.
That's the weird thing. I at this point, I don't know. Like, you know, I got to wonder if, especially after this, if Disney's kind of just being like, well, that's it. Is it worth releasing that way? Will they put it out
I never
digitally?
Understand the idea of
they keep
creating...
It's gonna be a theatrical release.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't understand the idea of creating a movie and going through all that process and having the movie and then not releasing it. It just seems like... You've spent most of the money.
Yeah.
Now.
It just depends on if they want, if they're going to work the X-Men into like the MCU proper, if they want to just have like, you know, not have some lingering thing from the past to sort of muddy the waters or whatever. The cast in that one is really like New Mutants looks really good. Mm-hmm. I hope it happens. I mean, like,
I like those stories a lot. And I think, and just, it's a good, got kind of a different spin on it than the rest of the stuff has. Less superhero-esque and more horror-esque. I'm like, yeah, embrace it. Totally do it.
Yeah. And the way the X-Men series just became this kind of...
Laughable joke.
Well, yeah, but like this just kind of tepid, watered-down, like nothing of a thing. Like they just refuse to commit to the superhero-y aspect and then they just keep retreading the same ground they've just pounded into oblivion. So it's just like, what are you doing? Oh, this? Oh, okay. Anyway, so that's not doing too well, and, you know, I guess that's the end. It's kind of a sad exit for that series.
Yeah, it really is.
Apparently, Simon Kinberg, who was the writer-director of Dark Phoenix, I guess, said in some interviews that they had they did reshoots to change the ending. I don't know. Have we talked about this before?
Yeah. No, we haven't
talked about it,
but
I've heard.
So he was kind of... I think I specified like Captain Marvel for some reason for being a reason that they had to have done reshoots before that came out, but maybe like the story wise it came, you know, they realized there was going to be similarities.
Yeah.
So I guess more specific details. I guess the ending would have been more like a space oriented kind of a battle thing maybe, and also
would have
involved the Skrulls.
Hmm.
So yeah.
Really?
Well. And you keep in mind, like they had rights to Fantastic Four as well, right? So they could have used them. Wow. I think it's one of those things, like a Scarlet Witch.
They were both allowed to access it. Yeah.
Technically, you know, there's an argument to be made for both, so they both could use them if they wanted to.
I mean, given what happens in the movie, it would have made a lot more sense had it been the Skrulls as opposed to the Dabari, which were. You know, that planet that Jean destroyed the son of when she was the Phoenix, and there's like one of those that you ever know of in comics.
Yeah. They're really just kind of a plot device to show how far gone she is, so that's a weird one. Yeah. And there was a lot
of
commentary.
And they have the Queen Roseanne Dabar.
Yeah.
There was...
At Dabar.
She's at the bar.
And having not seen the movie, I know that... but they said as much that, like, they changed something and they changed it to, like... I guess there's a shot in the trailer where, like, they're on a train and it's, like, flying through the air. And I guess, like, it's a train-based battle instead of, like, a space-based battle, from what I would heard.
Which, it's a land train instead of a space train.
You're really... But, I mean, again, this is, you know... That's pretty on point for this series. Like, oh, we could do crazy fun things. Let's not do that.
Yeah,
let's fight in the woods again. Let's just... be in an empty facility.
Give it a watch.
Nah.
Speaking of other series that have gone horribly awry,
we
are recording this on June 14th and
2019 AD,
and
this
is the exact date that Justice League 2 was scheduled to come out. The
original
Zack Snyder second part of his trilogy.
And
was that supposed to be like a two movie split?
It was supposed to be three. That was the first in a trilogy.
Okay.
Because of all that goodwill he got from Batman versus Superman.
Yep.
That's fun.
Also coming out today. The Snyder Cut of Jessica Jones. No, Jessica Jones season 3
has a lot of slow-mo dancing.
Released as of like yesterday, today. I guess technically today.
And two out of three of us didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which just one little blurb somewhere a couple weeks back saying, oh, it's coming out, and there was a date. I'm like, oh my God, why have I not seen anything about this? And then it dawned on me, well, it's Netflix has soured on Marvel because whoever did the axing and whatever, yeah, we don't really know the whole story. Nobody likes each other anymore. So why would they promote it? It's done. It's going to play. The amount of people who are going to watch it are going to watch it.
I'll watch it.
I know. I'm excited. I like
the first two seasons.
I really like them too. So.
I like the first a lot more than the second season, but Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones is like just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, definitely down for it.
And I haven't seen, I have not seen any of it yet, because literally hours ago is when I went, it's on there? Click Netflix. Oh, yeah, it's there.
Weird.
I have to scroll down to find it, but it's there. There is hints that there's going to be like hints of other Marvel movies and things, such as Captain Marvel. There's some sort of Captain Marvel Easter egg in it, apparently.
In Jessica Jones. Really?
Although, like, how much, it's probably what it'll end up being is like, did you hear about that Captain Marvel? Yeah, I did.
She won't even call her by name. Yeah, it'll be like, oh, the Sparkle Girl or something. Yeah, like, they literally would not call Captain America Captain America in those shows. Yeah, like, it was just going out of their way to not.
And there's also apparently more of a Hellcat.
So good.
They said Hellcat Easter egg, but I'm like, it should be more of an Easter egg by now. Yeah. You should be full on Hellcat. She's one of
two main characters.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, oh my God. It's literally, she's going to, there'll be like a cat silhouette over her for like a hot second or something instead of actually doing, they're like foxing it up. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Just absolutely refusing.
I like that. They're foxing it up.
Yeah. Refusing to do the thing and going out with a whimper. Mm. Cool.
Cowards.
Now moving on to actual comic book news, believe it or not. First off, Wally West. Wally West.
How's he doing? What's new with the little man?
You're about to find out. He's getting a new miniseries.
What's it called?
Called Flash Forward. And it's going to be dealing with him after Heroes in Crisis and trying to redeem himself or something, or just dealing with what they did to him.
It's just four issues of him crying.
So Wally's still around. That's the good news. Creative team written by Scott Lobdell and drawn by Brett Booth.
Two names I have not heard in a while.
Yeah.
I'm not dissing that at all.
No.
I literally have not heard either of their names.
Yeah. No, they've worked on like Titans and stuff like that. And like Scott Lobdell's been working on mainly like, what do you call it? Like Red Hood stuff mainly. And like, you know, the Outlaws and the Outsiders and all that.
Yeah.
Or whatever they called them. Yeah, it was.
So Wally's going to get a baseball cap.
Basically, a backward. Cool. Yeah, he's going to be 90s as hell. Mm.
Cargo
pants. Yeah, so, you know, hey, Wally, I hate to say, man, do you have to exist again? Remember when he didn't exist? Getting weirdly nostalgic.
He's like, no, I don't
remember that. How can I remember my bummer. Non-existence?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Also with DC, it has been announced this September, Brian Michael Bendis and Ryan Suk will relaunch Legion of Superheroes.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because I love Legion of Superheroes, and Bendis is the best when he has a big group to large team and the dialogue and what.
What do you think they're going to eat?
I don't know.
There was a Millennium issue, I think it was, or was an event called Millennium or something like that. I know that there
I
was.
Don't remember that.
It was like solicited or something, where it's going to be like Ryan Suk and I think these like Jim Lee and Dustin Nguyen and Andrea Sorrentino. The great, really solid stable of artists that are involved in this push. So this is very promising. I think it said something like there's going to be like a story that literally spans 1,000 years and sort of connects to like all of DC's future timelines through them.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Interesting.
Like literally everything.
Yeah.
So they're. I do appreciate how they're completely, they're going like, everything happened again.
Yeah.
They're like going like all in, embrace like our entire history, let's embrace this whole thing. And I'm just like, I'm really here for it. And I've been really kind of digging everything Bendis at DC I've been reading.
I have not read his stuff. Like, really, I am not excited about him doing the stuff that he's been doing so far. Yeah. I haven't really been reading it. It's not really what I read normally, so I'm like, whatever.
I haven't been reading all of it. I've read some of it. This is the
first point I've been like, ooh, I will read that. Yeah. I jump into that. I did see it was posted some of Sook's character designs.
Mm-hmm.
They had Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, Chameleon Boy, and Shadow Lass. It looked pretty good. It was like a play off the old one, the original designs, but something a little different. But the only thing,
the original designs.
I like the original designs, and that's Barry Kitson did the one run with it, and I loved his style drawing it, and he embraced the old costume designs, and it just looked. It was a nostalgic but a nice feel to
from
it.
From what I saw, it was like kind of modern sensibility, but sort of keeping true to
The only thing that stuck out to me was that two of the male characters had the alt-right haircut kind of thing. Oh, and I was like, the undercut thing. I was like, really? That it's trendy, and I just immediately link it with that. So it's like...
Sort of like once you go Nazi, you can't go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so hotsy.
But, you know, Ryan Sook is a good designer and stuff.
Just happens to be haircut.
Oh, absolutely.
It
is interesting, though. Like, that seems like every decade or so, whenever they reboot them, it's always very... They get those redesigns that are kind of like a callback to the original, but of the time that will probably age like milk. But, you know, I'll enjoy it for a while.
Age like milk.
While it lasts. Other DC returns. It's been announced basically that the Justice Society, the JSA, is also coming back.
Nice. Yes, I did see that. I didn't read a lot about it, though. I was pretty excited.
This is in like Scott Snyder's Justice League. I guess they're sort of digging into more. It's kind of like a big kind of ongoing event book is how they're treating it. But, yeah. So,
and that's fine.
In September as well, same month. In September, they come back. I think Justice League number 31 and 32. And so some of the Justice League get kind of blasted back in time into the 40s. And there's the Justice Society, and they kind of have to work with them. And it's kind of them dealing with being a superhero while like literally the world's about to explode. So, you know, nothing much changes. And I find it interesting too how like they're really going for like that, at least that kind of post-crisis style where they were in the 40s.
Right.
Which is interesting with the shifting time frame. Are they still going to be around in the current day? Are they like, have they died off? Are they old? Is there going to be something else to that? But I do like that they're still of that time. Yes. And I love how
they haven't aged it up. So, it takes place in the 70s or anything like that.
Exactly. And I like how it keeps that history that I enjoy about that universe instead of like, the first superhero showed up 5 years ago. Right. Like, that kind of nonsense. Yeah. It's like, no, there have been superheroes long before any of these, the current, like, the most famous guys were around. Yeah. Like, they're just the current people. There's that legacy.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Embrace the past and make it interesting, yeah. Also announced, Chip Zdarsky is starting a new series for Image. August 14th, it's going to be coming out. He's doing it with Runaways artist Chris Anka and Matt Wilson. It's called White Trees. It's a fantasy miniseries, apparently, but it's two oversized issues, which I thought was weird. Hmm. A weird sizing.
Oversized meaning like 72 pages?
I guess. I don't know. It could be like 48. Style? I don't know.
You mean like physically oversized? Or
it's
is it
huge. Like you gotta you gotta bring your pickup truck and just stuff it in
the back. It's a big book. You sit on your poppy's knee. What that voice was.
I don't know.
It's written,
maybe if I do a dumb voice, this thing will sound funny. It didn't.
It's written up as such. The White Trees is set in the fantastical world of Black Sand, where peace was hard won, and three unbending warriors carry the scars to prove it. Now, almost 20 years later, their children are missing, and war is on the horizon. Can they put aside their memories of the war and each other for one last adventure? So, kind of typical... Lord of the Rings-y adventure sort of thing. Yeah.
Zdarsky's branched out a lot, actually.
He's all over the place now.
He's like, he does the funny. He's the funny writing guy. And now he's...
Good for him.
He's awesome. Had some real gut punch stories. And I've been very impressed with everything he's done. So, hooray!
Okay, let's do the thing we came here for.
What the f***?
So we all make stuff. We all draw stuff.
That's what they say.
Besides the essentials like, you know, paper and a pencil, what do you guys need to be able to work? What's something that without it, you cannot seem to do it?
A diaper. Because those long days of drawing.
I sit beside you a lot.
Yes, you do. I'm surprised you haven't noticed.
Yeah, it's...
That's because I have good diapers.
It's pungent.
Yeah.
I wear good diapers.
Sick of this show is sponsored by good diapers.
Sick of bad diapers. You know it. Who's talking?
Everyone.
Is there anything like a... I don't know, almost like a talisman of some sort, or a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Panic. It depends on where I am. I have a little drawing, like a portable drawing board, that's literally just a really thin piece of cut board that's cut perfectly to the size that I generally draw.
Yeah.
And it has like clips on it.
It's got a clippy-doo on there.
And it's like, we're in my studio at this moment, and you can see this beautiful drawing table.
Yeah.
That I just have... stuff piled on, which is horrible that I do that, and I don't draw on that more regularly. I do occasionally, but I often just sit in the chair and have it kind of propped up against the desk and just draw on that board. So, and then whenever we go to like market or go wherever and I'm drawing on bigger stuff, it's that's what I'm
sometimes being hunched over too much is kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you could like sort of cradle that bad boy and be like,
yeah, it depends on, and it like it doesn't always work out. I've had drawing boards in the past where it was not a good drawing board.
No.
And you were super hunched over and just like, okay. Oh,
yeah.
I have scoliosis.
Yeah.
What about you?
I almost always have a beverage when I'm drawing. It might be water, it might be a beer, it might be a coffee, but I do a lot of my work in public, like coffee shops.
Yeah,
I've drawn comics at bars before.
Oh yeah,
I did it. It's fun. It's okay. It's not great, but yeah, like, or if I'm at home, I've got a water bottle or a drink or something. It's the thing tends to get flat or cold or warm or whatever it shouldn't be, because I'm more invested in drawing the thing.
Yeah,
the ice cubes melt, whatever. But yeah, I've almost always got little sippy buddy. For
a little sippy cup.
For momentary pauses where it's like, I'm going to just take a sec and kind of look at this. And so I'm not super zoomed in on whatever I'm working on and not seeing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you, Bri-Bri?
Literally, mine is weird. It seems almost like kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. Not quiet. I need like kind of not being interrupted. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't happen very often, just in general. I just sort of, there's always something going on or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just like, you know, I'm not smart enough to be like, just turn your phone off and put it in another room and don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. So there's that. So I kind of just need like total kind of privacy to really kind of focus.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just like, I just get distracted constantly and I get almost nothing done.
Yep.
At the same time, I can't have it completely quiet. So usually I'll always have like a show in the background or music or something.
Yeah. Once he mentioned his, I thought the same thing. I did the same thing. I need sometimes music, but more often it's,
movies.
Yeah.
Which is very distracting. It actually,
I know. Should go with music more often. Often, like, I'll put on something that I've seen, like, a good couple times. Or, like, a show or, like, a movie that I love that it's like, I've seen this a million times. So, I could, like, just play it in my head whenever I want to. You know what I mean? So, I'm not going to get too distracted.
I used to do that. Now, I put on new stuff. I stop concentrating.
Yeah, exactly.
And I completely screw myself up.
When I was doing a lot more comics than I am now, when it came to lettering, I would listen to music. Because the lyrics wouldn't really distract me from... writing. But for actual drawing, podcasts are fine, and I have a shitload that I listen to.
Yeah.
And I can always jump into ones that I haven't listened to in like a year and be like, what's new with this? Still suck? Okay.
So not ours.
No.
Great.
Ours has gotten better over the past year.
Woo!
The last 6 months have been pretty good.
Don't you agree, listener? Oh, no.
Our listeners are crickets.
Well, crickets, you better rate us on iTunes. Wait a minute.
It's called Apple Podcasts. Now.
Whatever it is.
That definitely rolls off the tongue better.
That little fuck up.
Especially have a cricket's tongue. I got a question.
Okay.
We all go through dry spells where it's just, you know, like a writer's block, a drawing block. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you just
a creative block.
A creative block. How
block needs an enema.
How do you break that?
How indeed?
No, seriously, how do you break that?
Have a deadline that you have posted on the website you post your stuff to, and be very anxious. That's how I do it. Mm. Just be an anxious person.
Dig around and doodle things and just fill a page with stupid doodles that make no sense. And just like, it's basically like if you have a plugged sink, the doodles are basically a snake.
Oh, okay.
And you're
that's a hell of a metaphor.
Well, you're cramming stuff down there so that you can get the pipes working again.
Okay.
Look.
What kind of a dress bell are we talking about again? No? All right, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. But yeah, what about you? What do you do? What works for you? You go for a jog?
I don't. It depends.
That's not an aggressive.
No, you're actually not.
Defensive.
Far off. Depending on how it's blocked and what I'm doing and how much other things I have to do and how much time, sometimes I'll switch projects.
Yeah.
I find that helps. I often have like two or three things going on at the same time. I'll be like, you know what? Put that to the side because it's just not working. Do this. And then it's like your brain kind of subconsciously works things out. Or if you get to that point, I'm like, I've just been inside too long and I'm getting kind of goofy. Yeah. And I'm like, especially now where we've moved. It's the woods or outside. I go for a run down the road. I go chop wood and do manly things.
I go shoot a fox with an arrow that I throw.
Yeah.
Cool.
I go spear fox fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Consult with the bog monster.
Swamp Thing. It was a Swamp Thing, but it got canceled.
Oh, no. In truth, Kyle's is also kind of applies to me sometimes, just like literally like, I'm going to draw Spider-Man now just for fun. And it sometimes like you don't, you know, you just get kind of burnt out and you get kind of like.
Go back to those favorites.
Just take something that is just fun. You're just doing this for fun. You're not posting this anywhere. You're not using this. You're just like, oh yeah, I'm just having a fun time drawing this thing. And then kind of ride that wave. Ride that wave. Something that has kind of been not weighing, that sounds pretty dramatic, but something I've been thinking about just sort of... Something I've been coping with. And I'm asking you two in particular, because you... Because
we're in the room.
Yes. You both have sort of different experiences. Kyle tends to do more of a... sort of the gag-a-day kind of a thing, mm-hmm. like the joke-based. Mm-hmm. You have like more of a long-form kind of story.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in this weird spot where I think...
You have the exceptional long story.
It's a very long-form story with jokes.
It's a long-form story, but I felt like it started more of like being like, here, we're just going to use this premise and do some jokey things.
Right.
And then it kind of turned more into a long-term story.
I've done that too.
Yeah.
That's what Premise Beach, my first comic, became.
Yeah. So it's not even really a question, just sort of like how you, like, it's sort of a weird spot where I'm kind of like, this is good. And I find like this can be a little, like doing a short form, like just a little joke here and there, kind of punchiness can be a little bit more fun to do.
Right.
In the way that you're like, I did this like one or two pages that sort of have a joke and then it's kind of done. And then you feel like kind of a refresh for the next thing, even if you're building towards a bigger story. But like just kind of like how you... deal with like planning all that out. For example, like yours are all like long-term stories and like how do you know what I mean? Because I always have like points in mind that I'm going to touch on.
Like beats.
An ending in mind. And then I just sort of see what happens. Just sort of go in that direction. And sometimes I might change my mind and go this way or this way.
Yeah.
You are writing for books.
It's a little different because you know you have a...
Yes.
Start, middle, ending. You have like those beats you want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people that when they write those sort of things, they map it out completely, which I kind of do. But then I kind of leave bits open.
Well, you have like the whole like cue card method and stuff where you literally have like a blah, blah, blah. Like the whole thing is absolutely like set in stone by the time you start going.
I guess,
or at least as close as it can be.
Depending on what I'm doing. But it's like really for the past couple that I've done have been all very, very mapped out and very, kind of like almost like a movie where it's planned out scene by scene, and I literally doodle it. What are you? Well, thumbnailing it.
Yeah. Do you have like a full script? Is that how you handle that?
Yeah.
Like to begin with, or are you like?
Yeah,
you
know? I ended up for Nowadays, and then for Season of the Dead Hours, I did. Kurt wrote Nowadays.
Well, because it was a script, right?
It was a script. It was written as a film script, so it's written very differently for a movie. Yeah. So then we had to. He was adapting it for comic, and then he would give me those, and he wasn't. He'd never written for comics before. Mm-hmm. So it's always different when somebody's new and doing that, and then they kind of try to do that, and it's, you have to, no, you can't have six things happen in one panel. Like, you can't, you can't describe, this guy's doing this, and then this is doing this. So like,
they're all one snapshot in time.
Yeah, I'm like, it's got to be one beat. Like, you can have multiple things happening, and you can describe that, but it's like, then he does this, then he does this, and it's like, and which is funny because it's like you don't even think about it, and I understood he wasn't even thinking of it in that way because he reads comics. He was like avid comic reader. He understood how that worked, but it's different when you're writing it and you're just just filtering the ideas out. But yeah, then when I wrote it, it was kind of wrote out the basic breakdown of the premise of the whole story, worked out the characters a little bit, and then basically just wrote it out like a script. Like a movie script.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think that's mainly just sort of your experiences kind of doing both. I don't know how much you've done more of like the just one-off little gaggy
thing. Well, but then I did Zygo Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was like a strip, which would have generally 5 to 10 panels sort of thing.
Yeah.
How long
was that running again? It was a while, right?
It ran for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was shorter for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's 3. You did that for a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. For free.
We do it because we love it.
Exactly.
Give it away to publications that make a bunch of money.
Exactly.
It's mainly just like what your, I don't know, your experience doing both. I have a hard time.
I have so much respect for
Kyle. Well, I have respect for Kyle. I have respect for Murr.
For Kyle, for being able to do.
Oh, great. That's fine.
We both respect Fry.
Oh, sure.
But for both of you, you'll be able to do like short, punchy things. You do like.
I get in and out.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Three panel is. I cannot do a three panel thing. I've tried it and I just.
It's the weirdest thing because there is such a. Like a. Structure to it, such a solid classic structure to it, but
my brain does not work.
Being
that
like the brevity, like being that concise and like to the point is that takes that's a skill, man. Like I gotta meander around even in one page.
In my head, my jokes are long rambling things that eventually get to an ending.
Well, like you've had a conversation with me. That's what they are in real life.
Well, yeah, but you get to translate that into a comic and it can be short things. And I'm like, okay, I like this joke that I have in my head. How do I make that short? And I'm like, I can't. Half of my funniness is not the punchline. I enjoy the lead up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I need a long, like almost not multiple punchline lead up, but multiple beat lead up.
Yeah.
Well, like Corey from the Market showed me a comic that he did yesterday. Or not yesterday, Wednesday. Wednesday morning. Yep. I ran into him. He showed me this comic he did. And it was a one panel comic. And he was like, so what would you do to change this? I'm like, it's perfect. Like, I might add some drawing related stuff. But the dialogue was like, this is a one panel comic. It can't be a two panel. It can't be a three panel. It's perfect as a one panel comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Leave it alone.
Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
It's interesting sort of hearing kind of how you guys do that stuff, though, just because I see the guys stuff you guys do. And I'm like, I don't know what I am.
I would love to do something long form. I need to do that.
I would love to see you do a long
form. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I want to. Which leads me into my next question.
Yay!
Without having a, when you do these long-term plan things, you do like the, what am I going to do 6 months from now? What am I going to do a year from now? 5 years from now? 10 years from now? What? Yeah. So I wrote down, without having a five-year plan, what is your 10-year plan? As in, what is the thing that you desperately want to accomplish without having any idea of how you're going to do it?
Holy fuck.
And I will go first.
Thanks, okay. Please, God.
Putting out something long form.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do a graphic novel for you know, going on 5 years, and I've got some rough ideas, but it's really about, you know, sitting down and fleshing out those ideas and writing a script and doing character designs, and there's a million parts of it that I haven't even touched, but I really want to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's my secret shame. I bared my soul.
End of the episode. That's what I've been waiting for.
Oh no!
Honestly, like, I, once I finish this book and maybe series, I don't know. That's what it's looking like, at least for the time being. I'm kind of like, would like to just, for a while, maybe not. And it's the weirdest thing because it's like terrifying to not be like doing something you're putting out necessarily. Yeah. But I kind of want to just like, just work on drawing, maybe even like find some script samples and just really work on like developing kind of technique wise and stuff like that, and trying to like expand beyond a certain style and a certain, you know what I mean, and a certain like just how I'm comfortable framing stuff. I want to get way out of my comfort zone and just like do something that
push yourself to go in
no
a different direction.
No one else is going to see, because I can like literally just draw a page and just be like, wow, that looks like absolute garbage, but you know, literally learn to walk again.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's the thing about doing a webcomic. Everything you do is out there for public consumption. So
yes.
Your practice is putting up pages.
Exactly.
It's not anything else that you do. It's putting up pages.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't get to just practice for the sake of practice.
Yeah.
Because again, like, time is limited, right? And even right now, it's like I'm like, deadlines aren't happening so much because there's just not enough time to get it done. And I mean, I've gotten, you know, I look at what I'm doing now and I'm still never completely satisfied because I'm always rushing to some degree. But I look at what I'm doing rushing now and I look at what it, like, I did rushing like a year ago and I'm like, oh shit, that got better. And it all, and it's consistently, I can see from the beginning to now, it's like,
you
shit.
Can see, you've made
massive. Like when it started, I can look back at my earlier ones, I'm like, good lord, I put that online and put my name on it.
Yeah.
But it was literally, you know, I hadn't drawn at that point for like a very long time. I used to just doodle for fun, and I was like, it's like, hey, I'm the guy who doodles, and I'm pretty okay at it. And then, you know, it kind of went to hell, and then I just was trying to literally, that was my way of teaching, it was learning by doing exercise.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I want to, like, go bigger than that, and I want to, like, you know, maybe not have to be, you know, showing that to everybody.
Yep. Yeah,
that's fair. What about you?
I have two things. I've had a comic that I've been rolling. Well, I've had a couple comics I've been rolling in my head, but one specifically that's kind of a
play. Is it the space dystopian future sort of one?
No, that's the other one.
That's the one I want to read.
I know.
Not this one.
I like that one, but then it was like I got distracted by this other one where it's how did I describe it before? It was like, it's like Terry Gilliam's Brazil meets. Bien. Meets
he knew it the whole time.
Meets Idiocracy, meets something else in my head. Like it, and it's like kind of just it's social.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Social and political satire of what is going on in this world right now because it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Our world is going nuts, and it's just a play off that. And I'm like, I feel like now is the time that I have to do this. I have to get that out, or it's. I don't want to say, or the craziness will pass me by, but at the same time, it probably won't. And
No.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's like I'm seeing this, and I'm like, I need to comment on this right now.
Yeah. Because
that's what we do as artists, is we comment on what we see right now and reflect what's happening. So part of me is that, and then I got kind of sidetracked with it. And then part of me also, so part is wants to do the independent thing.
The artist thing, I want to reflect society.
Right. And the other one's like, I want to sell myself out and work for a big company. And I've been saying this before. I want to work for Dark Horse. It's just because I love...
What the f*** are you doing, Dark Horse? You're sleeping on this.
I just love the stuff that they're
doing. He's going to get sold to Marvel any day now.
Yeah. Disney's going to buy me. Yeah,
they only own your hands and your brain.
Yeah.
They're going to make a cane from RoboCop 2.
Warner bought my feet because they thought it was a good idea.
Oh, no. Oh, they're making all the wrong moves.
We're going to make a whole feet franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will pay to stream these feed. Oh, we're out of business.
We're rich.
We're going to make a whole series. Oh, you've made the whole series? Cancel it before it airs.
Yeah. We only saw the first toe.
Yeah. That's all you're going to see.
Yeah. That actually is the benefit of, if you feel like, I want to do something that, like, comments on this insanity, that's the benefit of doing a webcomic, is like, well, I gotta get this done tomorrow, yep, and this just happened, so yeah, I'm just gonna make some joke about it here.
It does instantly date the work.
It does.
I've got one comic, it's in the first book, I think, the first Skin Ninjas book, because I'm doing plugs throughout.
Yeah.
That
was volume one, like, but not volume two, which is now available.
That's correct. The volume one is also a bit but it's a shot of it's a parody of the trailer for the sort of Muppets reboot that happened a couple of years ago.
Okay.
With Jason Segel and Amy Adams. And it's like, you know, the trailer was like a shot of him, then a shot of her, and then a shot of Kermit the Frog.
Okay.
And basically what the comic was, like, shot of Jason Segel and it says his name, shot of Amy Adams, and then a shot of Scorpion. And it's just, you know, Mortal Kombat in that font. And that was the joke. And at the time it was like, yeah, this is topical and it's passively funny. But, you know, 6 years later, it makes no sense.
But you that's the benefit of
yeah,
one-off gag things. Oh, you can flip the page and it's not like it ruins exactly the rest of it. Yes. It's like, you're like, okay. Yeah.
Especially if you're posting something online. I mean, like, you know, it's like, oh, that's a thing that happened recently specifically. And then you, you know, get some attention on that. And then, you know, you put it in a book is a little bit different, but it's maybe on the website.
Leave it out of the print edition is what you're saying.
No. You got to collect it all. Gotta collect it all.
No, the first 100 strips aren't in there, and they never will be.
They're in the fire. Aren't those digital fires? They're in the fire.
There was a firewall.
Pardon me. But it helps to not... I did some, like, I think earlier on, like, direct references to things, and after that, it's like, no, it's sort of like, it's like this, but their version of it, so it's sort of referencing, like, I reference things happening in the world, but it's happening in their world and it's slightly different. So referencing something.
It's
but
the idea of like referencing and not being direct about it. And that can play off.
It's a lot.
I'm having this battle of like having done three books. Do I want to continue? Like it's super fun and it's you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I am God in this scenario, like whatever, but at the same time, I'm also the accountant and the marketing guy and everything. Like, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing if the book doesn't do really well. Yeah. Or like, and it's an ongoing thing. Like, I still have a bunch of all the book. Well, not all the books.
Oh, yeah. So like, you're
nowadays in seasons, I have lots of them. So if you're looking for some books.
Do you have any copies of Victor's Legacy left?
I have like five, maybe.
And that's it.
And that's it.
So buy them.
And it's done. Yeah, I did a second print run, and that was it. Because the writers didn't want anything to do with it, strangely enough. Well, they'd moved on and done other things. And I was like, that's get it, so I'll print these off and I'll sell them.
No, we're making candles now.
Exactly. They got horses. They're horse people.
One of the writers actually opened his own brewery in Winnipeg. So if you're in Winnipeg...
Wait, is it the same brewery? No.
Sucrum... Oh, no.
No, sorry.
Sucrum's Brewery.
Oh, interesting.
Check it out. He was like winning awards for like home brewing and doing this brewing before he did this, and he was trying to get into it for a while, and then finally,
that's awesome.
Like, just made that leap, and he's doing really well.
It's pretty great.
Good like how the guy that did Akewood is making fancy sodas now.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird. You know, maybe again. Yeah, maybe I'll finish this up. Maybe I'll get into boats. I'll be a boat guy.
A real boat
guy with a boat. What am I? Who am I fooling? I can't afford a boat. I've made comics for the last nine years. Yeah.
I'm going to buy a skateboard. And I'm going to sit on it because I'm afraid to stand on it.
Yeah.
Scoop me around, they'll say.
35 is a good year to get into skateboarding, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm 34. Oh, you're 35.
I'm 35. Rub it in.
So everybody's influenced by other creators, like other artists that you've loved, their sort of approach. They have a certain type of line or a certain type of drawing things, techniques or whatever. What are some other creators' traits and tricks that you've loved so much and you've tried to absorb, whether you're not so much copying, like, and it's, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
Oh, no, hey, no.
Because that's how we all learn. We're like, how do you do that? I'm going to do that. And like, oh, and it becomes your own thing because you're doing it mixed with other things and having it a different way of doing it. But what are other creators' tricks and traits that you've loved and absorbed into your own influence?
Mm.
If you can think of anything.
I still do Penny Arcade ears. Mike Krahulik, that's his name, right?
I think. Yeah, or one of those guys.
Yeah, okay, so Mike Krahulik may do ears differently now because I haven't read that strip in a dog's age. But his ears in a very specific way, and I had never really paid attention to the way of drawing ears before I started doing this on any sort of level. It's a very simple thing. I couldn't draw an actual ear to save my life. It's always just like this quick thing. So there's an example of it. And it's a very specific thing. And if you look at any picture I've done, it's like, oh yeah, he just did that. There might be a little more to it. Yeah, I'm looking at your ear while I'm saying, like, those things are crazy.
My ears are getting hot as you stare at them.
I'm getting hot over them ears.
I've mentioned him 100 times on this show. Bill Sienkiewicz is a huge influence, and he's definitely influenced how I draw and do these little scratchy lines and lines that cross over things and triangles and circles and
I started following him on Instagram like in the past month, and like I'd say 2/3 of the time I see the thing like liked by Merck.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
I don't follow a lot of people on Instagram, and it's like,
no, neither do I.
It's just kind of one of those.
It's just you guys and Bill Sienkiewicz and that duck.
But it's that cosplay that, which is amazing.
Yes,
I like that a lot.
Shout out to Nora the Duck.
Check it out. But yeah, just his approach of like it's a fine art meets comics.
Yeah,
and line art meets other things. Like, not that I'm doing the heavy painting and stuff that he does, but just in terms of his line work is so unique and it's really loose. And that's been several other creators, like Frank Avila is another one that he's very loose in his line. And it's in the past 2 decades, you've seen so many creators that their stuff gets so tight and so finished and so beautiful. And it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. But I can't do that.
Sometimes they get way too tight where everybody is just like a stiff brick house that is just has no life at all.
Yeah.
You see that happen too much when you get like the details. It's like,
there's some people that can do a very fluid and natural looking thing and it's super detailed. And I'm like, wow. Okay. What's his name? Travis Charest.
Oh yeah. Or Charest. I don't know.
Charest. Amazing. I have not seen a lot of his stuff. I've just seen hints and little bits and everything I've just been wowed by. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know how you ever put one comic out. Like, it's so detailed.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I can't do that. And I don't think I would want to. It's just, I enjoy the looser sort of stuff more. Another one is Adam Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up his approach of doing heavy outer line. Like when he draws the character, it's the outline is much thicker than anything on the inside.
Oh, like Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Kind of.
That was like a dominant style for a couple of years.
But, and it's, I end up.
The Clerks cartoon.
Yes, exactly. It's like true. The Clerks cartoon.
It's true.
And it depends on what I'm drawing. I'll get to a point, I'll be, and I'm making it going, okay, should I make that outer line, should I do the Hughes thing? And bleh, and then I'm like, sometimes it pops it, sometimes I do it and go, totally ruined it.
Yeah.
Good for me.
It's well, that was when I was sort of first learning inking, it was like, super, super thick outline. And then as I went, it was sort of, no, because the purpose of the outline is to make the thing pop, but it also has to add depth. So you need to know what to do in the heavy outline.
Yeah.
So
it's not like one uniform line, but it's like it's distinctly, it has edges and bits and pieces that come to points and whatever, but it's still distinctly heavier than a lot of the inner stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like depending on what's in the whole page, if you're playing off other things and there's an actual background, that dark, heavy line pops it in front of the
background. Very important, and it's something that I'm only now really kind of trying to be a little more conscious of.
Inking is
Very hard.
An unbelievably difficult art.
Very fun.
It's super fun when you can get into it. Yeah.
That's one. That's something I'm trying to look at more. Because again, especially if you're doing something like black and white.
Yeah.
It you know, you need to be able to like distinct like different planes and stuff like that. And I'm trying to put more of a conscious effort into, you know, putting more, like less, you know, back, a little less detail, a little lighter, and then trying to like make sure I'm like
just more, making more distinct. More bikes and horses in the background.
Yeah, just bikes and horses all the time.
The interior of a car.
I do look to...
This car was born inside out.
as far as like direct influences, I mean, like, listen, always Archie Comics all the time. I just love Archie Comics. Like Dan Parent, Dan DiCarlo. I'm not saying I draw like them. I don't. But I just, I look to that kind of... A style is more kind of what I'm going for. I'm not going for anything like super realistic. It's kind of cartoony, and that has a nice clean.
It's a very clean, even feel. Like it's not.
And that's what I aim to do at the best of times. I look to like Usagi Yojimbo by Stan Sakai a lot because it's a black and white comic. Again, draw nothing like it, but he puts a lot of detail into stuff. Like it is and isn't. Like he's got like a lot of like line work and stuff like that, little hatchy stuff all over the place and stuff. But everything stands out. And it's weird because it's like I'd never have any trouble following anything, which sometimes a black and white comic, depending on how it's done, can be an issue. It can be an issue for what I do. Never an issue with him. So I'm paying a lot of attention to like, how are you so good at this?
it's difficult. Doing simple is often harder than more complicated.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And even just, I don't know, like features and stuff like that. I feel like I'm getting a little more, trying to get a little more animated in some ways. I've noticed stuff sneak in there. I think from the beginning, I think like Lorden has like some chest hairs. I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that's just like Simpsons, Homer Simpson chest hairs. I just stuck on him and I didn't even realize it.
It's a top of a Charlie Brown head.
Yeah. Well, stuff like that, like certain little like Simpsons kind of qualities to stuff is kind of sneaks in there. The eyes have gotten a little more Toriyama. I think and it's not on purpose. It just sort of happened. I tried to like, I'm going to change how I draw them a little bit. And I'm just like, it probably has something to do with like me and my wife watching Dragon Ball all the time.
They need to be more emotive. So they need to take up more space on the face.
Yeah.
Well, bigger. No, like for bigger. Real.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
If a good half of the reaction to whatever is happening in the comic is the emotional responses being shown through the eyes, it does need to take up more space.
Absolutely. And so
it's art. You're not doing photorealistic stuff.
Exactly. And then like when I started, like eyes would just literally be like, I didn't draw the under. It would just like be like a curve and like a circle. Like it was very basic. And then sort of kind of like done more of like the kind of the anime-ish like under part and kind of, you know.
I'm still doing just circles.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy with my circles.
Yeah. So that's just a little thing where I'm sort of like, that, and I guess even subconsciously I'm sort of like, I'm kind of doing that, but it works.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, it's a natural thing. Like I sort of draw like this, but I like this and I like this and I like this and just little aspects kind of just.
That's what everybody does.
Work in there.
It's that borrowing from everybody. And then even just like through the years, seeing new things and like, I like that. I like that. I like that. How can I steal a little bit of your,
A little bit of your mojo. Give me your life force.
Your soul is mine. Come here.
That's it for now, but we should come back to this.
Remember when we had jokes? We had jokes, but that was like that got kind of serious.
I
was
sometimes,
not a bad thing.
Sometimes you gotta break it up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're not trying to be too self-indulgent with stuff like this, I guess, but
no,
we do make things, and that is our platform.
As an artist, I would love to hear other people talk about their stuff.
And to be honest, we used to have, like, when we did three episodes at a go, and we would, you know, do this until 2 a.m.
Oh, boy.
We would have time to talk about this stuff a little bit. We don't have as much time as we used to talk.
It's true.
To talk about this stuff, so it's nice to be able to do it.
Well, it's jobs and babies and...
No.
And,
foxes, speared foxes.
You got arrows to make
out
of the heart of a dying sun.
Dragon, sun.
Dragons, sun dragon.
Sun dragon.
How is your son the dragon doing?
Oh, he's okay. He's having trouble in school.
You know, he's in French immersion, right?
He is.
Monsieur Dragon? How do you say dragon in French?
Dragon in French.
There it is.
So if you want to see some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
We're all at the, if you're living locally in Thunder Bay, we are all at the Thunder Bay Country Market. Saturdays from 8 to 1, Wednesdays 3:30 to 6:30, upstairs at the Octilius booth. But if you're not locally, which is quite likely, mm-hmm. We all have websites. Mine, I'm Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram. My books, several different books, one of them which is pretty much sold out.
Woo! Cool.
Yeah, I have lots of things, books and shirts and prints and sage advice written down on birch bark.
Nice. Whatever.
How about you? Make me stop.
Sorry, I'm Brian Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. It's called welcometohereafter.com.
Welcome to Hereafter, featuring .com. Yeah. And Grizz.
Oh, I'm going to get sued. Yeah, so that's all there. I really hope I'm hit page 500 soon. It won't be for a while. Hopefully by the end of the year. God, who knows at this rate.
You think actual end of 2019?
Oh, yeah. Yeah? I hope so. It should be. It should be done within, I would hope, what are you three on or four right now? Months. I'm on 487 or something.
Ah.
So provided I can hit my deadlines, it'll hopefully be done by 2020. so that you can see all my comics there. As far as other art stuff, that's, I'm going to plug, in the year 2019, a DeviantArt.
What?
I don't have, a blog
what
properly.
What is your DeviantArt?
Just Bry-esque.
That makes sense. That's
Bry-esque.
I have a DeviantArt as well, which I have not visited in forever.
No, I know. That's why it's so weird. But I literally, if I do something that's a print, I'm I'll post it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And then I'm just whatever. I'll put it on a place where it'll look a little nicer, I guess. It's there. So I have old sketches and whatever I've done as a print is up there. But I realize I don't really have a place where that's, I have just that stuff at all. So yeah. Go to DeviantArt and look up Bry-esque. That's Bry-esque. DeviantArt.
Well, I'm going to plug my live journal.
Good, please.
It's BethBilson.live. I actually had a live journal at one point.
Oh, really?
That was written in character.
Oh, man.
For one of the supporting characters of my old comic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's interesting.
I don't think it exists anymore. I tried doing all sorts of stuff like that and having Twitter profiles for some of the characters, and
I had a Lorden Twitter account that I was going to literally occasionally have him on his phone, and then it would tweet what he was writing or something. He'd be doing it in the I did it once or twice, and then I'm just I'm not doing this anymore, and then just forgot about it.
You gotta keep that.
It's a hell with
it's
that.
A lot of work to do. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. No, it's a. Ugh. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or by searching The Kyle Lees. I also have prints, and I don't think I have any t-shirts up. I think I'll just keep the t-shirts local. I don't want to ship a t-shirt. Seems like a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very tired a lot of the time. I got a couple comic books. I'll plug No Haikus Ever. That's a poetry thing I did. I put out a book of that a while ago. It's out of print currently, but go read it all for free. Look, I'm not going to charge for poetry. What am I?
Where can you find that?
Just search No Haikus Ever.
Okay.
It's the first result. And if it's not the first result, then I'm killing Google. Watch out, Jeffrey Google, because I'm coming for you, you son of a
bitch. You know, Jeffrey Google, get off me.
You know what? Frankly, I'm not going to stop you.
Jeffrey Dougal.
But can you ever really draw a horse?
You must become the horse.
Oh. Well, that's... It feels a little too good.
And when you draw the horse's ass,
music. Big old picture of me.
To ride a horse is to borrow a dream. It's like a horse tattoo.
Lots of horse tattoos out there.
You'd be surprised, my friend.
Yeah.